and you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of John. John in chapter 6, we are plowing through this word, plowing through the book of John, and it is all about Jesus. It is lovely, it is beautiful. And this morning we're going to be looking at laboring not for the meat which passes away, but for the meat that endures unto everlasting life. John chapter 6. Please stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to begin in 24 and we will end there in 27. This is after Christ Jesus fed the multitude. He gets into the boat with the disciples out in the middle of the sea, and he goes with them to the other side. The people can't find him. They don't understand what happened. And we'll begin there in 24. Listen to what it says. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Or when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for the reading of your word out of Genesis and here out of John, Lord. We thank you that it is here to lead us and to guide us, to make the man of God perfect and true before you. Lord, we love you this morning and we give you praise. We give you honor and glory on your Lord's day. We lift you up and we exalt you, Lord, for who you are and for what you've done for us, for dying for us and for raising again for us. Lord, before that, for living a perfect life and that we may be able to be perfect in you. Lord, I love you and I thank you for this word this morning, and I ask that it would penetrate the hearts of those that are here. Lord, we pray for those that are traveling and those that are not here this morning. Lord, if they be sick, I ask, Lord God, that you would heal them. Watch over them and comfort them today. Be with us through the remainder of this service. May all that we do and say be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So we understand by the end of last week that the disciples had got into a boat. Christ Jesus told them to get into a boat and go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Christ was up on the top of the mountain to pray. The people see this happen. They see the disciples get in the boat and leave without Jesus. Jesus is up in the mountain praying. He leaves then, and he really sends the people away, and he goes out into the water, onto the water, and begins to walk on the water, enters into the ship, and goes to the other side with the disciples. When they get to the other side, what happens was Jesus then goes into the synagogue. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to verse 59 of this text. Verse 59. And this will set the scene of what we're about to read and the words that were spoken by Christ and the people that found him. Look at verse 59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So we understand that Christ Jesus, he crossed the sea, he came back onto land, and he went into the synagogue, and here the people find him. Listen to what it says, 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. So they got in the boat as well, and they left one side, traveled across the sea, came to the other side, and when they had found him, where did they find him? They found him in a synagogue. We know that from 59. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Rabbi, when did you come here? The first thing I want you to notice this morning about this text, and we're going to spend the most of the time in 27 this morning, but we got a few things to get to in 25 and 26 before we get to 27. And one thing that I want you to see this morning in 25 is where they say rabbi. Rabbi means master teacher or the greatest teacher, the one that's there. And so we see that the people come and they approach Christ, and when they call to him, they call him master teacher or rabbi. Now, did they really mean this? If he would have really been the master teacher in their eyes, he wouldn't have rebuked them the way that he did. So one thing that we have to understand this morning is that the Lord God is not interested in our flattery. He is not interested in some flippant flattery of the tongue. He doesn't want that. He wants hearts that are in true worship to him. And so here we see that the people, they call him rabbi. But it did not lead them to repentance, nor did it lead them to reverence at all. And we'll see that through the remainder of this text. But the people, just because they call him rabbi, that doesn't mean anything. There's a lot of people that call our Savior today, there's a lot of people call him Savior and Lord. That does not make them saved. The Lord Jesus can see straight through our flattery. He wants true hearts that have bowed to his love and lordship. 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily," or "truly, truly, I say unto you, you seek me not," and he rebukes them here. "You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." He says, the only reason you seek me is because your bellies were filled. There's a lot of people that want to serve the Lord because they think that they have benefits from it. Instead of wanting to serve him, they're constantly after something that will serve them. And Jesus says, "Truly, truly." This is not to be argued with. This is not to be spoken to after I say it. "Truly, truly, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." Jesus totally ignores the flattery in their voice. He totally ignores their question. What was his question? What was their question? They said this: When did you come here? How did you get here? How did you do this? Jesus totally ignores them. Nicodemus said the exact same thing. He said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher from God. No man can do the things that you do except they be sent by God." What's Jesus say to him? "Nicodemus, verily, verily, marvel not. You must be born again." And so here we have Jesus, and he is rebuking these people. He is rebuking them just like he did Nicodemus. And he is setting them straight. Setting them straight. Christ says, your response, Christ tells them, he says, "You seek me because your bellies were filled." And Christ's response was truth. How many people know that Christ Jesus is the truth speaker? I believe very, very assuredly that there are many who don't want to come to church and don't want to listen to the Lord because they know that if they do, they will have to hear the truth spoken to them. Jesus is the truth speaker. And so he speaks to these people and he says, "You seek me because your gullets were filled. Your bellies were filled. You seek me because of what you think you can get from me." Christ's heart was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes hungry. Y'all remember that before he fed them on the mount, before he fed them? Before he fed the 5,000 with the loaves and the fish? Christ's heart was moved with compassion. Yes, yes. And he worked this miracle to show them that he was the true bread of life. The true bread of life. In our text before us this morning, Christ tells the people that he is the bread of life, the bread from heaven, and only he can satisfy the hungry soul. And so as I'm setting this up, 25 and 26, I want us to understand that these people had traveled all the way across the sea because they wanted their bellies filled. This was a work that they were working to try to find some type of sustenance. They wanted to be sustained by physical food. And Jesus comes and he says, this is not the way. He said, I came from heaven. I am the only one that can satisfy the soul. Yes. 27, listen to what it says. And this will be the remainder of our morning. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. He says, labor not. Doesn't mean don't work at all, does it? Now, when we look at this text, it says labor not. Is Jesus telling us to not work? Well, that totally contradicts Scripture. So we have to put this verse in its proper context. And in its proper context, we understand that the Scripture clearly speaks for us to work. Proverbs 31, talking about the virtuous woman. 31 and 27, she looks well to the ways of her household. This is a woman full of virtue. This is a woman that wants to serve the Lord. She looks well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. This woman is not lazy. We understand that she works for the bread. She takes care of her home. Genesis chapter 2 and 15, before the fall, the Lord took man and placed him in the garden and told him to dress it and to keep it. And before the fall, work was to be pleasuresome. It was supposed to be good for you. After the fall, Genesis 3 and 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat till thou return unto the ground. It was a curse unto us. Before it was pleasure, now it is a curse. And we're to do that. So the Scripture's not teaching us to not work, 1 Timothy 5 and 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. All through the Proverbs, Solomon speaks about being idle and being sleepy and slumbering. So what is Jesus telling us? Is he saying for us not to work and to be idle? No, he's not telling us that. I believe a better way to view this text is by excessive work for those things that will perish. There's a lot of people that have set their mind to things that will perish in the end. Whether it be some type of four-wheeler, and we use four-wheelers and trucks and boats because I'm a man and we do those things. Or whether it be guns, or whether it be this, or whether it be that, or whether it be careers, or whether it be jobs, or whether it be food. How many people know that when you eat meat, 2 or 3 hours later, you get hungry again? Five of us. James, I'm glad you can agree with me this morning. These are things that do not sustain. But there are people that are doing excessive work, and that is troublesome for the Lord. That is actually idolatry on our part. So you have the sloth that doesn't do anything. Then you have those that excessive work, which is idolatry. And so he's speaking of temporal things that does not satisfy. 27, but for the meat that endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. Now, does it mean here to obtain salvation through works? And this is how the text could be read. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but labor for that meat which endures. So we understand that labor is in both of these texts, in this verse. It's there twice. Even though it doesn't say it in 27 twice, we understand that's what he's trying to say. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for labor for that meat which endures into everlasting life. Listen to what it says. Does it mean here to obtain salvation through works? Absolutely not. So what is Jesus telling us? What is he telling us? What is he telling the people? Listen, Romans 3 and 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans 4 and 4. Listen, now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. If we work to earn our salvation, we will always be in debt to it, to keeping it. But salvation is not to be worked for. We know that that is impossible, and Scripture is very clear on this. Ephesians chapter 2 and 9 tells us that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Our text says, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life. So we're to labor for the meat that endures unto everlasting life. The people had just crossed the Sea of Galilee, and he's telling them this because they wanted their bellies filled. And he says, you're laboring in the wrong form. He says, all you want is your stomachs filled. And I want my stomach filled a lot. I do. And he comes to them and he says, you've set your affections on your bellies being filled. He said, your labor is wrong. You're going about this thing all wrong. Listen to what he says. So Jesus says to them, don't labor for food that will not sustain you. And that's all they wanted. That's what they wanted. And then he tells them, labor for the meat that endures into everlasting life. And my question this morning is, what is that meat or that bread that gives everlasting life? This is my question. And this is where we will stand the rest of the service. What is that meat or that bread that gives everlasting life? Remember, they had their bellies filled, and it was the bread that Jesus made to show that he was the true bread. So what is the meat or bread that gives everlasting life? Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the true bread that gives everlasting life, guys. Listen to what it says. Listen to the rest of the text. Which the Son of Man shall give unto you. Jesus Christ gave his life to the Jew and the Gentile so that we may be able to partake of him. Now, I want you to understand what it's saying here. Jesus Christ gave his life. He is the true bread. Listen to what the text says. Which the Son of Man shall give unto you. The Jew and the Gentile. Eating of Christ, guys, is looking to him and trusting in him with everything that we have. I want to make y'all stand up and jump, do jumping jacks here in a second. I'm telling you, y'all better wake up in here now. Y'all gonna wake up? Amen. Joanne, you awake? Amen. All right. Kids, y'all wake up there. I see two heads. I know there's more than that up there. There's Ja'Cory. Y'all wake up in here now. I want y'all to see what's going on. This is critical that we understand this. Jesus is the bread that he's speaking about. He is the one that gives life. Yes. Eating of Christ is us looking to him. Yes. Eating of Christ is us trusting in him and leaning on him by faith and repentance, turning from the world that does not sustain. And this is what he was telling the people. He said, you cross land and sea to get bread that sustains for 3 hours. But this is not the bread that gives eternal life. This is not the meat that gives. This is not the works that give eternal life. The only one that can sustain is Jesus. Yes, amen. And this is what he's coming to say. Romans 3 and 22. Listen to what the Word of God says. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 4 and 3, for what saith the scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Speaking of Abraham again, Galatians 3 and 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Abraham believed in the promise of Christ Jesus, and righteousness was accounted to his account. He believed in the bread of life. He believed in the ingested Christ Jesus. He believed that if he took his son up to the top of Mount Moriah that and slayed him right there, that God would be able to raise him up, even if he killed him. He believed in the promise was to come. And this is exactly what Jesus is speaking, that the bread of life is Jesus Christ and nobody else. Amen. They crossed land and sea to not be fulfilled. Yes. And Jesus comes to him and he says, you're going about this all wrong. You're wanting bread that fills your bellies. People use religion as gain. There are so many that use religion as gain. And Jesus says, you're working and you're going about this thing all wrong. All wrong. What sustains is me. Abraham believed in the promise of Christ Jesus. And he ate and partook of that meat that endures into everlasting life. Listen to Ephesians 2 and 18. For through him, or Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. 1 Timothy 1 and 15, there is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. This eternal life, this everlasting life, this life that gives to us and gives us that gives us true life is only found in Jesus Christ. There are people that might confess him as Lord, but I want you to understand something. Their lifestyle never changes because they've never took him unto their self. They've never partook of him and ate of him as the scripture teaches. Listen to what John says. John chapter 6 and 33. This is our text, the remainder of our text, and I'm still going to preach through it, but listen to how many times Jesus says, you must partake of me. And this is where the fall happens with so many people. They said, well, I believe in Jesus. He did a lot of cool stuff, man. But they never take him unto their self. Never. Listen to what the scripture says, John chapter 6 and 33. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. That's Jesus. 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. 48, I am the bread of life. 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. How many times does he have to tell the people, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Let's keep going. 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. 53, then Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man. 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath everlasting life. This is taking Christ Jesus unto yourself, and so many people confess him and so many people profess him, but they never take him unto their self. Listen to what the scripture says. 53, then said Jesus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man. 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath everlasting life. 55, for my flesh is meat indeed. This is the meat that we're to labor for. Yes, yes. Jesus says, if you want to labor, labor for me. Yes. Come after me, take up your cross and follow me. Right, receive me. 56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood. 57, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. How many times does Jesus have to tell us? Let's go again. 58, this is the bread that came down from heaven. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Eternal life, everlasting life. How many times does Jesus have to tell us in one passage of scripture? The people were ignorant to this. They did not want to listen. They wanted their bellies filled. Yes. And Jesus comes and he says, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that bread. I am the one that gives. I am the one. And it's no different today. See, this is the message of the Bible. And every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday, pastors get up and they preach. And they preach and they preach and they give everything that they have all week long to look at God's word and to try to study it. And they preach and they stand up from the pulpit and they preach that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. For 50 and 60 years they preach Jesus is the way. But to no avail, the people sit and they never listen. Never. Jesus tells them right here over and over and over and over and over, just like every pastor and every pulpit across this country and across this land, and people still don't listen. All right, come on, Jesus is the way. Listen to what the Word of God says. 27, for him hath God the Father sealed. Him who? Who has God the Father sealed? Not us. Who has God the Father sealed? Jesus has God the Father sealed. Listen to what the text says. For him hath God the Father sealed. This seal that has been placed on the Son by the Father is a seal of approval. It is a seal of approval. If you got a pen, you want to mark that down, because it's going to come right back to us here in just a moment. This is not like a seal that we set on things that will end or can be overturned. We set seals on things nowadays, or we approve things nowadays that are temporal. This is not what the text is talking about. The seal that was placed on Jesus was confirmed and it cannot be overturned. Pilate set his seal of approval. He set his seal of approval on the tomb of Jesus. And what did Pilate do? He sent forth Roman guards to stand guard over the tomb, did he not? To stand guard at the tomb.
Yes, yes.
But what happened? Jesus overturned it. Is that all right? In Daniel in chapter 6 and 17, we see King Darius, and he casts Daniel into the lion's den. And when he was cast into the lion's den, the scripture says that he came and he took his ring, which was a signet, and he put his seal of approval on it. And all the lords that made Daniel go into that lion's den did as well. But what happened? The Lord overturned it, did he not? But the seal that's been placed on Jesus cannot and will not be overturned.
Amen.
And I want us to understand something this morning. This is where our hope comes in at.
Yes, yes.
And I'm going to explain that to you. The stamp of approval concerning our Jesus, it cannot be overturned. Why? First, because there's too many prophecies concerning him. You take an intellectual person and you say, I want you to read through all the Bible. Read through every bit of it. Take all the prophecies concerning Christ Jesus and try to prove me wrong that they've not been fulfilled in him. Well, you can't do it, because he's fulfilled too many of them. He's fulfilled them all. So the first, we see that this stamp of approval concerning Jesus cannot be overturned because there's too many prophecies concerning him. And for that to happen, you would have to take away the entire Word of God. And this is the only book that has ever stood the test of time. So we understand that's impossible. Second, because the foundations of the world, before the foundation of the world were laid,
yes,
our Jesus stood as a lamb slain.
Yes.
He stood as a lamb slain. In other words, it was purposed in him that salvation be wrought in time, that he would be the one to come to bring life and everlasting life.
Yes.
Third, God the Father commissioned him with being our Savior, and we know from Scripture that he did that and that he is our Savior. Not only did he purpose it before the foundation of the world, but in time he came and he actually did it. You can't get away from this, church. The fourth thing I want you to see, he set a seal of approval on his Son by his own word at his baptism. We've gone over this. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. What about the Mount of Transfiguration? The scripture says that God the Father spoke to the ones that were gathered. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. So he spoke by his own word, by his own voice. That was the fourth. The fifth thing, he was approved by his miracles. Each one shows us that he is God and that we are not. This is why so many people followed him. The scripture says that there's not enough books in the world to contain the works that he done.
Amen.
There's been nobody else do this ever.
Yes.
Ever.
Amen.
So by the miracles, it shows us that he was sent from the Father. The sixth thing was he was approved by faithful witnesses. By faithful witnesses. Over and over and over in the scriptures, the prophets and the priests and the kings, the judges, they all point to Jesus. They all testify to Jesus. He was approved by faithful witnesses. The seventh thing that I want you to see, and I'll be done with this one. And this, I think, is the most important. He was approved or sealed by his perfect life that was absolutely blemish free.
Amen. Yes.
Absolutely blemish free. And this is the good news, guys. This is the good news. If the Father has set his stamp of approval on the Son, what does that show us? That if we want to be approved before the Father, that we should trust and eat of who?
In Jesus.
His Son.
Yes.
This is the good news.
Yes.
Those that trust and receive the Son shall be approved by the Father.
Yes. Yes.
In the Son.
Yes.
And this is what Jesus is telling the people.
Yes.
This is what he's telling them. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Ladies and gentlemen, the only way that we can have salvation is to stand justified by faith in the merits of the works of the Son of God.
Yes. Amen.
Because he was approved,
yes, he was,
by the Father.
Yes.
And this has always been the way of salvation. This is the way that we are accepted by the Father. The scripture teaches very clearly that he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way that we can come to the Father is through the Son. And so the very seal that has been placed upon the Son is the very seal that we must trust in, that we must be sealed. And that's it. Anything outside of that is not right. This morning, the seal of approval has been stamped on me, and it's been stamped on several of you.
Yes, yes.
And you stand justified by faith in the works of the Savior.
Amen.
But is that all of you? How many times is Jesus going to have to tell you, I am the bread of life. You must ingest me.
Amen.
I am the one that will make you live forever. I have eternal life in my hands. I am everlasting. I am from everlasting to everlasting. When will you eat of the living bread? You've heard enough sermons in your life to last you 100 lifetimes. More than 100 lifetimes. But just like the people, Jesus has to come with them and say, I'm the bread of life.
Yes.
Over and over and over and over and over. Because their hearts were hard.
Yes.
If Christ Jesus has spoke to you this morning and he has showed you that he is truly the bread of life, ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that you can do is trust in him by faith.
Amen.
So that you may be able to be approved by the Father.
Yes.
That's it. If you want that seal of approval on your life, trust in the one that is that true seal, Jesus. And that's it. Guys, if we can, let's stand. As our musicians come, let's go to the Lord in prayer.